Well, Daniel chapter 12, friends, that's the very last chapter of Daniel. Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. Amen. So reads the word of God. Obviously, we're not going to be spending a lot of time in this chapter, you know, going word by word, verse by verse over, you know, the next 16 weeks, okay? So we're going to be looking at the chapter tonight, okay? So we're not going to be able to cover a lot of things, a lot of questions you may have about the chapter, but hopefully there'll be a word in season for ourselves, a word of encouragement. Basically, chapter 12, you're obviously at the end of the book, you're in the final section of the book, and the final section of the book of Daniel really begins back at chapter 10 with Daniel receiving a vision from God. That vision from God totally overwhelmed him. The vision had to do with the future of the people of God. And as you move into chapter 11, as the vision that he's given in chapter 10 begins to unfold, the Lord's people we see are in for a very rough ride. And it's a case of how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It's going to be a constant battle. Well, Daniel chapter 12 is given to assure us that no matter how difficult the times become, and we're in difficult times, beloved, isn't that right? And here we are reminded in chapter 12 that no matter how difficult the times become, the Lord is still and will continue to be the sovereign protector of his people. So the first thing we learn in this passage is that God powerfully comforts his people in the time of their trials. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you will know that it's a typical pattern that when the Old Testament prophet foretells trials for God's people, he also simultaneously gives them comfort so that they can endure those trials. Now, notice what he says in verse 1, at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. So it's going to be a time of distress, the like of which has never been seen before in the history of the world. Even at that time, we're told Michael will arise, and the Lord wants Daniel. He wants the Jews, those Jews who are going to be returning from Babylonian exile. He wants ourselves to have hope amidst difficult times, trying times. He wants us to have comfort. So at the end of this long vision, to say, began at chapter 10, that describes many difficulties for the people of God, it concludes with this word of comfort in verses 1 through to verse 4. Now, Daniel mustn't allow himself to be overwhelmed with despair, because God will provide protection for his people. And at these times, beloved, don't be overwhelmed. It's easier said than done, I understand that. But don't let us be overwhelmed with the despair that can come crashing in upon us. You know, if the Lord had ended the vision that he began with in chapter 10, if the Lord had ended that vision, if you look, just look at the end of verse 45 in chapter 11, it would have been grim. You see where it says there, he shall come to his end and no one will help him. You know, if it had, the book had ended there, it would have been grim, beloved. But verse 45 of chapter 11 is followed by verse 1 of chapter 12, and it's a great declaration. Michael, the archangel, will be with God's people. Now, the name Michael means who is like God. The name itself reminds us of the awesomeness of God, the uniqueness of God, the power of God. It points to that power of God protecting his people. Michael the archangel is a sign, a representative, a symbol of how God cares for and protects his people. Now, many of the reformers and the Puritans who followed the reformers used to interpret Michael in the book of Daniel as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, some later commentators would disagree with that. But regardless of whether you see Michael as the Lord Jesus Christ himself or as the Archangel Michael, basically, you know, what I'm saying is this reminds us that we do not live in an impersonal universe. You know, the forces of history are not controlled by impersonal mechanisms. You know, the COVID-19 just didn't develop from nowhere, you know, some impersonal mechanism. God is personally in control and overseeing this universe. And yes, you know, he sends his angels to protect his people and to guide his people. And we're told at the end of verse 1 that God's people must be prepared for trial and tribulation for the sake of the kingdom. And Jesus himself said that in the upper room. You know, you will face persecution, you will face trials and tribulation in this world. If you look at the end of verse 1, it says, at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found. Yeah, sorry, I turned over the page there, I shouldn't. But at the end of verse 1, it says, there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a time, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. So we must be prepared for trouble. Now, it's interesting that Christ applies this language to the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24. In fact, Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 may be fairly presented as an interpretation, a commentary of Daniel, and especially Daniel's chapter 10, 11, and 12. The parallels of the language are striking when you read the Lord's words in those chapters in Daniel. But notice the words, at the time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. If you look at Matthew later, if you look at Matthew 24, 22 and 24, the Lord Jesus talks about the elect, the chosen being spared. And that's a lovely parallel that you get with Daniel 12 and the Lord's words. You know, that those who are written in the book of life, you know, they're the elect, they are safe, they are secure. But furthermore, Daniel tells us in verse 2 about a resurrection to life and a resurrection of damnation to those who are unsaved. And sometimes you read Old Testament commentaries and they say that there's no reference to the resurrection in the Old Testament. Now, we say, you read in some commentaries, I'm talking about some liberals who constantly say there's no reference to the resurrection in the Old Testament, but it's a load of nonsense, like, because what you find here is a reference to the resurrection. You also find references to the resurrection in Isaiah 53. You find it also in the book of Psalms. So if you ever come across anyone, you know, saying to you, you know, there's no mention of the resurrection in the Old Testament, it's a New Testament idea, you know, just dismiss it right away, because the resurrection is very much, you know, in the Old Testament also. But you see here that there is everlasting life to those who are the Lord's people. And that's a promise that is held out to the Old Testament saint as well as the New Testament saint. And as you read that, it says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust shall, you know, awake." And you may wonder why it says many and not all. You know, is he saying that only some rise? Well, of course not. That's not his point. That's not why he uses the word many. Many emphasizes the great number of the Lord's people, that even though they fall under the hand of the wicked, a great multitude which no man can number will be raised from the dead. They will be resurrected. By the way, this is the first expression of everlasting life or life everlasting found in the Old Testament. So it's very, very important for the development of the understanding of the people of God in terms of what the Lord is going to do for them in the future. But if you look at verse 3, note the blessedness that awaits the faithful. In verse 1, we're told God protects the faithful. In verse 2, we're told the Lord resurrects the faithful. And there in verse 3, we're told that God will bless the faithful. Our goal is not death. Our goal is the resurrection. Our goal is transformation. Our goal, beloved, is glorification that comes with the last day. So do you note this encouragement that God has heaped up for Daniel and indeed for ourselves? Yes, he's given him a grim vision in chapter 10 and chapter 11. And following that, you get these three encouragements. God saying, I am powerfully and personally protecting you by my providence. Like, come on, friends, let that sink in these troublesome days, surreal days in which we live. God says, I am powerfully and personally protecting you by my providence. He says, I will raise you again from the dead. I am preparing a glory for you now in which you will shine like the sun. Now, moving on to verse 4, Daniel is told to carefully preserve this revelation for the sake of God's people. It's a solemn verse, verse 4, coming after that word of encouragement. Indeed, the encouragement is still for God's people, as I think the first part of verse 4 indicates. You know, God is concerned about us. God is concerned that we benefit from this message of hope. And so he tells Daniel all those years ago, he tells him about shutting up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. It shows the restlessness of people without hope. It shows the restlessness of the godless. And automatically you can see our own age in this. Listen to what Amos says. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 sort of sums this up. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Boy, it certainly pictures our age, doesn't it? Knowledge has increased, The world is now a global village, but for all the knowledge, man is none the wiser. So what a solemn word to end this encouraging section on. But in verses 5 to 7, moving on to the second section, Daniel looks and sees two other figures. He overhears one of the figures ask a question that he, Daniel, really wants to know at the end of verse 6. How long shall be the fulfillment of these wonders? Right. Look at the question and notice the question is not when. Is this going to happen? As if the persecution, the tribulation was something, you know, future. The question is not when. The question is, you know, this is happening now. How long? You see there in verse 12, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? You know, we're going through it now. And that's what Daniel is saying. And we're experiencing this difficulty now. So how long are your people going to have to endure this? And the response is found in verse 7, where it says, there it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And I wonder if Daniel was shaking his head when he got that answer. You know, I wonder if he was confused and saying, I don't get it. What are you talking about? What does it mean? Well, friends, it just basically means an extended period of time. So the people of God are being told that they must be in it for the long haul, okay? But it also means it won't be a matter of evil triumphing completely, because it's not a complete time. It's a time, times, and half a time. You know, evil will be cut off. You know, secular humanism will not triumph. Islam will not triumph. God is in control. God is in control of all offense, and he cuts the time of the wicked off. But then Daniel is told something else in verse 7. When the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. You see, friends, when evil has run its course, when evil has done its worst, we are told that these offense will be completed. And it seems to indicate that when the hopes of the people of God seem to be absolutely shattered, then God will act. You know, the grim work of the oppressors will roll on and on and on, but at the right time, the exact moment, God will intervene. Some of you know your history. At the Battle of Waterloo, Wellington had one plan. And basically, he was going to let Napoleon's troops hammer his troops until Marshal Booker arrived. But the problem was he was about 35 miles away. And you know, the troops under Wellington took a hammering, and it looked like they were going to be defeated. And at the nick of time, you know, Booker arrived, and within 45 minutes, what looked like a defeat was turned into a resounding victory. And so it is with God's people. You know, we can feel as if we are defeated. We're taking a hammering. And yet, within 45 minutes, the Battle of Waterloo, the whole thing was turned around. And Isaiah talks about a nation being born in a day. And you think, you know, there's so much arrogance in government. You see them calling evil good and good evil, and, you know, pushing godless agendas left, right, and center. And you think, where will it ever end? And then you can find that within the space of a month, everything could be turned around. And the change could come as swiftly as the change has come over the past, you know, couple of weeks with this virus. And people's hearts being turned to God. That can happen. And see, tonight as we meet around the throne of grace, we can pray that it would happen. You know, I know that some churches are closing down, they're closing all their meetings. And, you know, you can see the wisdom of what they're trying to do. We can sit in judgment on them. But I think that of all the people in this country who should be meeting together, it should be the people of God around the throne of grace praying and imploring God to move. Because, friends, we do live in desperate times and we need to waken up to that. And so when churches are closing the doors, I'm thinking those doors should be open. You know, God's people should be incessantly praying because we are under God's judgment. And if God's people aren't moved by the judgment of God, then the godless aren't going to be moved by it. And we of all people should be, you know, praying. Desperate times. Oh, we need to be a desperate people. But look what it says there in that final section, verses 8 to 13. Because here we see that all these hard providences, they're for a purpose. And what's the purpose? He says there in verse 8, although I heard it, didn't understand. But like the preaching sometimes, I get that. And then he said, you know, go your way, Daniel, for these words are closed up and sealed. And what's the purpose? Verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and refined. You know, friends, that's why God puts us through difficult times, because he's still doing a work in us. He's purifying us. He's making us into the people that we ought to be. And yes, while we go through difficult times and while we go through hard times, we have this beautiful promise, personal promise at the end of this, you know, 12th chapter and verse 13. He says, Daniel, you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and we shall rest, but we will arise to an inheritance at the end of days. Beloved, that's why we endure. Because we have an inheritance. We have a kingdom to inherit. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. And sometimes it leads through vanity fair for us to get that kingdom. Sometimes it's into the folly of the shadow of death. Sometimes it's across that enchanted ground, an uphill difficulty. Because that's the way God has prescribed. But we want to pray, friends, that in these dark days in which we live, when men's hearts are failing them, that God would be gracious. And that God would convict people of their need of eternal life.